we're meeting one of the last of the rabbiters, those hardy souls who stalked high country and back country farms, fighting the plagues of rabbits, which had become a serious threat from the 1880s onwards. Max Nelson worked for the Awatere Rabbit Board in the 1960s. A lot of his work was on Molesworth Station. Sally asked him what it was like.
Friggin' hard. Camping in old huts, caravans, freezing in the winter. But I loved it.
What was the scale of the problem you were dealing with?
The rabbits were just out of control. When I first went up there, the landscape was scabweed and practically no growth at all, just rabbit holes, dust, dirt.
There was still stock on there?
Trying to
graze?
Yep. And once the rabbits were sort of halfway brought under control and the farmers started to improve with top dressing and subdivision, things started to improve. The grass grew, but it was an ongoing problem with the bunnies.
Well, how did you control them?
Well, basically, when I first went there, it was all aircraft. Basically all aircraft in the winter and quite a bit in the summer. 700 tonne of carrot. Two-thirds of that would be feed and a third was poison.
What sort of poison?
1080. So, yeah, no, it worked very, very well. And then in later years, we got pindone pellets and they worked even better than 1080 on the rabbits. Didn't work on anything else. It would work on possums, but you had to have massive doses.
So how did you take it around? How did you actually lay it? Because you were talking about a vast area.
Well, 90% of it was probably aircraft, helicopters and fixed wing. You had to know what population of rabbits were there for a start. And then in your brain you'd work out, which I haven't got much of, the quantity of carrot or pellets you needed to put out.
Before aircraft, there were other means. What were they doing it on foot?
It was all hand, walking. In the later years of motorbikes, but it was all done with horses.
And were you doing that as well?
Yeah, used horses, carting gear for miles, basically on your own, except for the big aerial jobs. You'd be four or five, six there. You'd probably spend a week in the back country, from go to one hut to the next hut. And if you fell over and got killed, they wouldn't find you because no one knew where you were.
Didn't have locator beacons in those days?
No, nothing.
What was it like? Did you enjoy it?
Of course I did. I wouldn't be doing it. Still doing it. Though their old bones are getting a bit withered and they don't like the cold and the extreme cold now.
Were you doing it in the cold back in the day?
Yep. Winter, deep snow.
So you'd be trudging along with your horse
yep.
in the snow?
Yep.
And then you'd just be scattering the pellets as you went, or would you?
Not so much the pellets. It would be in the winter. We used carrot, and we also used raspberry jam, because the briars were ripe and the rabbits fed on the briar. They quite liked the raspberry jam.
So how did you put the jam out on toast?
Yeah, of course, for a toaster. No, we had a jam gun, and we turned over a little sod of dirt, and put a little, about half your thumb size, piece of jam.
Popped it back in the earth?
Yep, on top.
On top?
On top of the little divot you made. And rabbits came along, and if they didn't eat it, well, you just didn't carry on. So they were fed twice, three times, before the poison went out.
So what was the success rate?
Oh, it was done on low-density rabbits. So, yeah, no, it worked very well.
So then you moved into the aircraft, so that would have been able to, you notch it up a tremendous amount.
Yeah, it made a hell of a difference. Well, it was pretty damn hard work, especially at minus 15 in the mornings. Minus 17s, I think it used to get up to somewhere. I remember the vapour coming off and the ice on the wings. And
what sort of aircraft were they?
They were, it went back to, I didn't get involved with the Tiger Moths, but they weren't far behind or in front behind me. They were Piper Cubs, Ag Wagons and Pawnees, and then the big Fletchers came in. Very, very uncomfortable, especially the Cessnas. Then the big Hopper behind you, or in front. So it was pretty crammed in there. And it was my job to inspect all the land, work out where the poisons were to go, and sit in the aircraft and tell the pilot where to go.
With all this work with poison, were you wearing special equipment?
No, there was nothing special those days. We had gloves, but as soon as you got a stone in the big carrot cutters, you had to take them off because you couldn't operate in there. So you got covered in 1080.
How's that affected you now?
I don't know. You say.
You look pretty fit to me. Any health issues?
No, no. 1080's blown all out of proportion, really. I know it does a lot of damage to different things, but it's still a good poison and it's very safe to use.
You didn't have any qualms about using it?
No. Go home at night, covered in 1080. Have a shower, the water would run green. No, never worried. We used arsenic. That was a different story altogether, because that was a powder and very dangerous, because it communicates in your system. It'll kill you in the end. Strychnine gave that a fair bit of respect. It was instant death, a bit like cyanide.
How did it change when you were using the aircraft? How much more headway did you make in tackling the rabbit problem?
It made one hell of a difference. You could cover so much more land. You were getting a lot of bait onto the ground. And if you got the right time of the year for the right bait, it was very successful. The harder the winter, the better the success. And with the pin dome pellets, it was the same winter. And the pin dome pellets, I think we got around sort of 98, 99% kills on some of the blocks.
What did you do with all the dead rabbits?
Just leave them there. When there's thousands of it, by the time you pick up a few thousand, they're probably rotten.
I've seen old movie, old film of some of the rabbiters just taking the skins and drying them off.
The old rabbiters used to get paid, I don't know, threepence a skin. So really, basically, they were farming because that was their income.
But you didn't need to do that. You were paid.
No,
just
we
to
were
kill.
Paid. That's when the rabbit boards were formed. We got paid, so it didn't matter if you killed 50,000 rabbits or two rabbits. And if it rained, you didn't work, but you still got paid.
So you still work today in pest control. Is it all to do still with rabbits or
no,
other pests?
No, I haven't got my licences now. So I go back to Molesworth now and do the ferrets.
How bad is that problem?
Well, they were quite bad. I don't know what they're like at the moment, but for a start, I was catching 400. 401 was the biggest 3 months I had up there. And now I'm roughly 4,500 ferrets I've taken off Molesworth.
How do you do it?
Traps with boxes. The best places are roads, culverts, bridges, buildings and all that sort of stuff. Once you get out into the big open spaces, it's hit and miss.
And sometimes you're in the back country?
Yeah, not so much these days. I like my comforts.
So how have you seen the pest situation change at Molesworth over the time you've been there?
Well, things were pretty chronic and it was poison, poison, poison for many, many years, as you know. And then the Kalijia virus arrived. And that practically annihilated the rabbits in Marlborough. I know there's still rabbits here, but man, it made one hell of a difference. We haven't poisoned or any major poisoning for, 20 years? Well, there's still rabbits, but and there always will be. But they're nowhere near like they were. And every year, or three times a year, the virus comes through. As long as it doesn't jump host.
What about possums?
Oh, I catch a few. No, that's too hard of work.
Do you do anything with the skins of the ferrets?
No, they're all buried. Because they're full of TB, I bring them back and bury them.
TB's been a problem at Molesworth, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And it still is.
Yeah, the ferrets have got it, the possums have got it, hedgehogs, and I have heard reports of hares, the deer have got it, the pigs have got it, and the cats have got it.
Let's talk about Molesworth, because you've had such a long connection with the place, living there for all those years. Did you ever get into any sticky times on your own out there in those huts in the high country?
Oh, yeah, several. You certainly learn to look after yourself. I got stuck on a big steep face in the middle of winter. Couldn't go forwards, couldn't go backwards.
What'd you do?
I just quietly sat down and just crept and crept and crept. It was just like sandpaper I was walking on.
Did you have your horse or any dogs?
No, I was on foot this time. And I've often thought that if I ever slid and went, that no one would have found me because they didn't know where I was.
What about staying in some of those old huts, those old cob cottages? Did you do that much?
Yes, I stopped in most of the old tin huts in the Arrowtree Valley.
Pretty chilly in the winter.
Freezing.
How did you manage?
Oh, I had your sleeping bag, and you just lay there, and if you moved, you shivered. And you prayed that daylight would come pretty soon.
And what about food?
Milk powder, sugar, a wee bit of flour, and a couple of spuds. And a lot of the times, the deer cullers used to leave venison steaks hanging up in the dark corners. They'd smoke it and then hang it up. And, of course, we always had a little bit of fresh meat. Take the hard skin off, crust, fry that up. There'd be a fry pan and a billy. That's about all. The first time I went out with my boss, who was Pat Millard, I had everything in my pack except the kitchen sink. And we went for bloody miles. I think it was about a four-day trip from one hut to the other. The next time I went, I had absolutely bugger all. Sleeping bag and a bit of tucker.
You'd be going up some pretty steep
Yeah, a lot of
slopes.
Pack tracks. We used to follow the pack tracks a wee bit. Yeah, a lot of steep country. But you were fit in those days.
Are you still fit?
No, far from it.
You didn't mind the solitary life, though?
No, I loved it. Yeah, I still do. I prefer to be on my own.
What did it teach you, your job?
Look after yourself, I think. Don't panic. No use panicking.
Max Nelson, still going strong. Age 76 this month. He lives on the coast, just out of Blenheim now, but will go in and spend a few months trapping again on Molesworth this winter. When he's not trapping, he's up at the crack of dawn salmon fishing or whitebaiting. You can't keep a good man down.